do it the other way. There's one of the speakers or something not coming on. I don't know what it is, but anyway, we'll have to figure that out sometime. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You know, we've been talking about the local church as the body of Christ and preached 3 sermons to you on Sunday on that. The first was the local church as a family. The second was the local church as a body and then gifts in the body. And then we talked about the function of the body, how it's to function, right? Well, now we're going to talk about charity, how charity is in the body is the bond of perfectness, of perfectness. It's the bond. It's what bonds that body together, charity. And that's, and you're going to see as the Apostle Paul is dealing with them, right? Because he just got done talking to them about what? He just got done talking to them about gifts. And he said, you know, you got all these gifts and that's great, but hey, listen, you're functioning in part and you're supposed to be functioning together. So now he's going to really lay down. He's going to say, okay, great, you have these gifts. Now watch what he says here. Let's pray. Father, I pray you'd help us. Lord Jesus, please speak to our hearts about the truths of your word. Thank you for it, Lord. It explains everything to us. It teaches us what we need to know, word for word, in this perfect, infallible, inspired word of God. Thank you, Lord, for the words of the living God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, he says here, though I speak with... Well, let's look at what he says here at the end. He talks about you're all baptized into one body by one Spirit. Yeah. And if you look at that, by one Spirit all the way through, he's talking about by the Spirit, by the Spirit, by the, each gift, everything, the operations of it is all what? By the Spirit. Do you believe that? I hope you do. I hope you believe that it's the Spirit of God that brought you here, that baptized you here, or you came here through that baptism. It's always through that, when in essence, through that baptism to a local body, no matter if you're transferred in through that, it's still a recognition that you are a saved, baptized disciple of Jesus Christ and a member of a local New Testament church. That's how we identify ourselves. Baptism is that great identifier. Amen. That's what, no, baptism doesn't save you, but it's an answer of a good conscience toward God. It's an answer. It's me answering God, say, yes, Lord, you saved me. I'm going to be scripturally baptized into this body and be a member here and serve the Lord here and be a part of this body because I need to be. You know, you're going to notice here in the next, now and on Sunday, one thing you're going to notice is, and I'm going to make this bold statement here, but you will never be the perfected Christian that God wants you to be outside of His local church. And listen to me, I'm not picking on people out there that have their struggles. Listen, Brother Paul had his, he had to move here. You know, some people are in a spot right now where they can't. You know, John was on the island of Patmos. He couldn't be a part of a body, could he? Man, he wanted to be. I guarantee you there wasn't a day that went by that John wasn't on that island that he didn't want to be at a local church involved. Amen? But he couldn't be at that time. So God understands those things. We're not making excuses, but God understands that. And I know we want to be. Listen, I'm more concerned with beating up, so to speak, on the shepherds that are out there that aren't doing what God has called them to do, that are dumb dogs that don't bark and leave people alone without a shepherd because they won't follow the scriptures. And the churches are turned into a bunch of lions' dens instead of a body like God expects. So I'm not picking on people out there. I know there's people listening to us that they want to be in a body. And they're looking. I had a guy contact me yesterday, and he's thinking about moving here. He said, man, I'm praying about it. He said, I'm praying about moving here. He sent me church after church. And I'm telling you what, either the church didn't use the King James Bible, or one of the guys that he sent me, the church, he goes, oh man, I'm excited. I think I found it. I found the right one. It's like 2 hours away from me, and I'll drive there. I don't care. I'm fine with it. I'll do it. And he sent it to me, and I know who the guy is. As soon as he sent it to me, I knew who the guy was. I said, no, you can't go there, bro. That guy's a pervert. He wrote some perverted book about risque is okay. Yeah, it's a long story. I'm not going to go into it. But anyway, basically, it's the same spirit of that wicked, fornicating spirit that they think they got to talk about things and talk about things that are left to the marriage bed and everything else. Well, listen, my point in bringing that up is this, is that this person wanted to go. This person wants a church. They want to be a part of a church. I know people out in Utah. I've got friends that come to me out in Utah. Brothers and sisters in Christ. They're tuning in right now. They want to be a part of a church. But you know what? They're in Mormon country. And all the, and even the Baptist churches there, you know what they're doing? They're starting to go like this with Mormonism. Interfaith. Garbage. And there's, and right now, it's not like they're stuck in a place where there's nothing there. You know, if you're landlocked and you have everything, things take time. They don't happen all at once. So we pray for them, and I know what their heart, I know their heart's desire. Otherwise, you wouldn't listen to this preaching if you didn't want to be in a local church. Because this is not soft-sell preaching. It's not meant to appeal to your flesh. It's not meant to make you happy. It's meant to preach the words of the living God. And they don't leave an excuse for you not to obey God. But my point in that is that what you're going to see is that the perfecting of a Christian comes in the body. That's what God intended it to be. That doesn't mean you're not saved. That doesn't mean you don't grow. That means, guess what? He saved you to be a part of His body so you could serve Him in it and edify one another. Because there's somebody out there, or there's somebody in a body out there that needs the gifts that you have. Because God gave them to you for a purpose and for a reason. And it was to exercise in His body. He died for the church. Amen? So, anyway, so, but you're gonna notice that as we move forward, what you're gonna see, you're gonna see that, hey, this is what God intended. This is what God wanted. This is what His plan is. It's His perfect will. This is what He wants. And Paul is explaining that to them. Now he's gonna get into, he's gonna say, well, you know, we talked about functioning a little bit as a body and how you're acting in part. You've got these gifts and boy, you're happy that you've got these gifts. But the last verse that he says here, he says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. So what is this excellent way? Here's what it is. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. What does that mean? Empty. You're just making noise. Think about it. He's saying, that's great. You know what? Look, I got the gift of tongues. And hey, I can even speak to angels. I can speak. By the way, he's not saying there is this angelic language. I hope you understand how he is saying this. There are people, oh, well, it's an angelic tongue. And that's what it is. When I speak in tongues, I teach. No, Paul's not saying that there's some special angelic language. Look at how he's speaking. Look at how he's talking. He said, though I would speak with the tongues. People don't understand what the scriptures are saying sometimes. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. He's saying that, listen, even if I did, if I spoke in an angelic tongue and have not charity, it's empty. That's great. What is he saying to you? He was saying to the Corinthians, he's saying, great, you got the gift of tongues. Hey, that's wonderful. Isn't that great? That's absolutely wonderful. But you know what? If you don't have charity, it means nothing. Who cares? Who's going to profit from you being able to speak like that? You? What is he trying to teach us? He's trying to teach us that charity is the bond of perfectness. That without charity, who cares what gifts you have? Because you weren't given those gifts to exalt yourself. You were given those gifts to edify one another, which we'll get to on Sunday. He says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Was Paul saying that your faith is going to move mountains? No. What is he? He's saying, even if you did, if you had so much faith that you could say, God, I know you'll move that mountain, and that mountain picked up and dropped down. Wow, that's great faith, isn't it? You believed God and He moved a mountain for you. Well, Paul's saying, he's saying, and if I have not charity, I'm nothing. Because there was all these wars starting in the 1st of Corinthians in chapter 1. If you read it, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Paul, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Christ. You're all a bunch of bums, I'm of Jesus. So see, they were all battling back and forth. That's what they were doing. They were battling and battling and battling back and forth. And well, I've got the gift of tongues. And I've got this gift. And I've got that gift. What was it doing? It'd be like saying, well, I've got faith. I've got more faith than you. You're missing it. He's saying you're missing it. He said, you can have all those things. You can have all those gifts. And I have all faith so that I can remove mountains. And have not charity, I'm nothing. So you have a gift. Is it used in the body for the glory of God and for the help of your brethren? Or is it used for you to vaunt yourself, which we'll talk about in a second? How is it used? Is it used to help and to edify? Or is it used for your own glory? Paul says, great, you could have faith to move mountains. But if I have not charity, big deal. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, you have the gift of giving, and you give all your gifts to feed the poor. And though I give my body to be burned, he said, maybe you're a giving person. You're going to give even of your own body. Great. You have that gift of giving that you're a giver, and you just abound in giving, and that's how you are. Great. But if I have not charity, I'm nothing. That love in action. Amen. That's charity, God's love, amen. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profits me nothing. Charity. Then he's going to explain what charity is. He's going to explain what it does, actually. Because these guys all had gifts, but they had no patience for one another. They didn't really have any love for one another. Why? Well, look and go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, what was going on. Man, there's a fornicator running around. And they're all hyping him up and they're okay with it. There's drunkards and revilers and wicked men in the assembly. There's men that are altogether the fornicators of this world. They're lascivious men. They're running around and not living right. And what are they? And they're taking the Lord's Supper the way that they've perverted the Lord's table, and they've turned it into something else. The rich men got the best seats, and all these other things were going on. There was no charity there. He says, great, you have all those gifts. If you don't have love, you have nothing. There are churches that there are gifted people in. Everybody is gifted in the body. Did you know that? Everybody that is the Holy Ghost of God that's been brought by God into this body as a gift or gifts. Everyone. Amen. Everyone. Why? Because he says they do. Nobody's without gifts. Nobody. Remember? Nobody. But he says here, charity suffereth long. You know, one of the things when you come into a body and you're part of that local New Testament church, you're part of that body, you know what? You're going to have to be long-suffering with one another. Why? I don't know, because we're gonna annoy each other sometimes. We're going to get mad at each other sometimes, or get upset maybe, or be offended by something, we're not going to like the way somebody says something or somebody's personality or the way somebody is. Everybody's different. Everybody's different. But what is that bond? Charity. That's what means that I can be long-suffering with you because you're so different. You're going to think, man, they're just weird. you might call it weird. Man, that person's just weird. Well, maybe, I don't know, people are different. Everybody's different, right? Well, what brings us all together? What bonds? Charity. The love of Christ in your hearts. That's what brings us all together. That charity is what allows a body, it's the glue that binds the body together. Charity. That's what it is. That's what makes it so, you know, you have people from different walks of life and different personalities and everything else. You've got, you know, Brother Finney that's a lawyer, and you got a Brother Paul that's an electrician, you got Brother Lee that's a banker, and Brother Roy and Brother Andrew and all these other men that do different things and have different gifts and different, and they can sit down and they can talk to one another you know, you got people that are different. Some people major on minors and some people minor on majors. And I mean, that's just the way it is. Some things, things that aren't a big deal to me would cause Lee's head to blow off. I mean, his whole head would just pop off his shoulders. I'm not kidding you. And I'm not being mean to him. I've known him for 7 years. I know what he's like. Just eat off a spoon and hand it to him. Watch. I mean, I mean, his whole head will pop off, you know. No, I'm picking on him a little bit, but he understands. He's at home listening right now, but he understands what I'm saying. But that's him. That's how he is. Is it wrong? No, it's just him. It's who he is. And me, I'm not that finicky about things. I will say this. He has influenced me a lot in some areas of my life, which has made me more finicky than before I met him. And he has taught me some things. So do you see how, no, I'm not him, and I don't take things the level of he does, but I've learned from him, because he's long-suffering with me, and he knows, hey, he's not like me, and I'm not like him, but we love one another. So we don't look at each other like that, and it's not about, well, man, there's something wrong. No, you're just different. You just have different personality. You like different things. You don't... That being unified doesn't mean that you all that everything is the same about your personalities. No, it means that, you know what? We have charity one for another, and we're long suffering with one another. And you know what? We just don't let things bother us that much. When you're not long suffering, it means you're not loving. Amen. When you're not long suffering, you're not loving your brother. You're not showing charity, because charity suffereth long and is kind. Doesn't call the cops on you. Charity is kind. You're kind with one another. Hey, so what? Somebody did something to offend you. Always give them the benefit of the doubt and think they didn't mean to do it. Amen? You should always give somebody the benefit of the doubt and think that they did not mean to do that. That's how your normal reaction should be. Now, if there's a pattern to doing that, then you got to talk to that person and say, well, you got a pattern to doing this. But you know, charity is kind. The Bible says, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Amen? He's talking about your relationship in the body. It's talking about how you deal with each other in the body. He's talking about putting on that charity, that bond of perfectness. Amen. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. You know, you don't envy if God has chosen to lift up your brother. Amen. And honor your brother. We don't envy that. We don't have that envious spirit towards that. But we thank the Lord that God has blessed one of our brethren. That's how we approach it. Why? Because that's what charity is. That's what love is. We're not envious. If God chooses to do something, we're not envious. Charity vaunteth not itself. What does that vaunteth mean? It means to boast of or to make a vain display of. It vaunteth not itself. It's not braggadocious or vaunting or boasting. He's saying, listen, you can have all these gifts, but if you're boasting and you're bragging and you walk around with pride like that, then you're vaunting yourself above your brethren and you're not showing charity. You're not showing love, which is that bond for the body. There's no one of us better than the other. No. We ought to wake up every morning being absolutely amazed that God would save us and use us. That He would even give us breath to live another day. Because we don't deserve it. We don't deserve a thing but hell. But we receive the glories of Christ in our souls by the Holy Ghost of God. For what purpose? To the glory of God the Father. He saved us for His glory. Did you know that? That's why you were saved. For the glory of Christ. Because God honored the sacrifice of His Son. So we didn't earn anything. We didn't work for anything. So we have no right to boast of anything. I didn't call me to preach. I have no right to boast of preaching. I didn't call me to pastor. I have no right to boast in pastoring. Because I didn't call me. And I didn't give the gifts to each other. You didn't give gifts to yourself. The gifts that you have no right to vaunt yourself above your brother or to boast. Because you didn't give the gift to you. It was given to you. And if it's a gift, then why do you boast? As if you've earned it. Amen. He says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. You know, knowledge puffeth up. Wisdom edifieth. A lot of people have a lot of knowledge out there, but that knowledge can puff you up. If it's not tempered with that wisdom and with charity, then you can use your knowledge just to hurt people. And there are some people that will do that. They'll use their knowledge just to trample on people or to hurt people. That's not what it's for. If you use that knowledge in the body to hurt people, then what are you doing? You're puffed up. Paul told him that first. He said, you're rather puffed up and you've not mourned over this sin in the body. You've not mourned. He said, you're puffed up. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, he says, you're puffed up and you've not mourned for this wickedness. What happened to them? They got too big for their britches. That's what happened to them. That's right. You sure can. You can really trample them if you're not careful. But charity doesn't do that. Doth not behave itself unseemly. What does that word unseemly mean? It means not fit or becoming, uncomely, unbecoming, or indecent. Charity does not, it's not unseemly. That's unbecoming or indecent in activity or actions. In the way that you treat others, they don't act uncomely or indecent. God says that charity, if you have charity, you don't act that way. So you don't take your gift and use it in an unseemly way. Unbecoming way, indecent way, or not fit for the name of Christ. We don't do that. It's not unseemly. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own. Charity, love of God inside of your hearts. That love in action. Seeketh not her own. It's not always about you. You know, there's a lot of times as a pastor, there's things that I don't want to do. But it doesn't really matter what I want to do. It's not about me. It's about Christ. I can guarantee you before Brother Paul and I go out, 90% of the time we're thinking, man, there could be an awful good excuse for us to stay home. Why? Because it's easier. It's a war. And when you really understand that it's a war and you go out there, it's easier to stay home sometimes. I mean, all the time it'd be easier, but it wouldn't be right. It wouldn't be love. Mm-mm. It'd be easier. But charity seeketh not her own. You know, what Paul is saying, and he says it over and over again, we're going to go over to Colossians and deal with a few things here too that'll kind of go along with this. But what he is doing, what the Apostle Paul is trying to tell them is, my little children, understand it's not about you. Yes, we've acknowledged, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, we've acknowledged that you have gifts. Okay? We've acknowledged that there are many gifts in this body. That's what he's saying. Hey, we've acknowledged it. Yes, we understand you have these gifts, but my little children, the one thing that you're missing is that you can have all these gifts, but if you have not love, if you have not charity, you have nothing. You've missed it. God didn't give you that gift for your own edification or for your own glory. He gave it for His. And He gave it to be exercised in the body. And He gave it to benefit your brethren. And He gave it to perfect your brethren. And charity sees that, and charity will understand that, and charity seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Doesn't fly off of the handle and get mad at somebody. Something happens. Which is okay. We'll work on it. We'll deal with it. We'll be long-suffering. We'll overlook it, maybe. We'll overlook it. It's not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Look at that. Charity in the body thinketh no evil. Oh, that person meant to do that right away. It's the first thing. Oh, they got a problem with me. They meant to do that. Or they're mad at me. Or they did this. Or thinking evil of your brother. Or thinking that your brother did evil. We always got to give each other the benefit of the doubt. Amen? Until we know otherwise, then our brethren are innocent. Amen? That they didn't do it on purpose. Until we know otherwise. Until we have proof and understanding or admittance that they did something else, then we think no evil of them. Now, if they've proven themselves to be evil, then you deal with it. Amen. But charity thinketh no evil. The first thing we think if we hear something about one of our brethren in the body is, boy, I don't really want to believe that. I'd have to have some proof of that before I just believe that. You'd have to substantiate that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established, because boy, I'll tell you what, I don't think I could believe that. That'd be a hard one. I don't know them in that way, and I've never seen them behave that way, so I wouldn't be able to think that that's what happened. Why? Because we think no evil one of another. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. You and I are not to rejoice in iniquity. We're not in the iniquity of others, in our own iniquity. The iniquity in the body or the sin in the body or somebody else. Oh, he finally got his, what's coming to him. He finally fell into sin. No, we're not to be that way. We don't rejoice in another person's iniquity or our own. Why? Because it's not charity. Because charity doesn't do that. What does that mean? That means that you can't go live in your iniquity and rejoice in your own sin and think that it doesn't affect the body. What you're initially saying is that the body doesn't matter. I don't love the body. I'm going to do what I want to do. So no matter what my sin does, I don't care. No, charity rejoiceth not in iniquity, in yours or others. But rejoiceth in the truth. You know, somebody that loves God and has charity, you know what they're going to do? When they hear truth, they're going to rejoice. Why? Because the Holy Ghost of God is inside of them and the love of God is shed abroad in their hearts. And when they hear truth, that Spirit of God inside of them and that new man says, amen, that's true. It's that witness inside of us. Amen. It's that witness. And he says they rejoice with not iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Truth causes them to rejoice and be glad. They don't hate the truth. They don't get mad at the truth. They say, man, I'm mad I failed God, but it's true. They're rejoicing for that truth. Amen. Beareth all things. What did he say? Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. You can't properly do that without being in a body. In his local church, showing charity one for another. That's why I feel bad for folks all over the country that are like that. Because there's nothing there. Unless they walk in and compromise everything that God has instructed them to be or to do or a church is to do, and go and try to unify themselves with some place that doesn't even believe the Scriptures. They can't do it. But we're to bear one another's burdens. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. That means believeth all things right. Believeth all things well. That we believe those things that the Scriptures say. We believe our brethren. Unless they prove to us otherwise. Hopeth all things. Hope. What does that all things mean? What is he talking about? Just hope the best for your brethren. Hope the best for each other. And hope to the end, amen, of what the work that God is going to do in you and in your brethren. That's what God wants from us. That's charity. That's love. Endureth all things. You know, I preached a message like 3 years ago. I just found it in the archives. And I'm gonna post it pretty soon. Probably tonight. It's called Endure Hardships. And I preached that enduring hardships as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. It's about 3 years ago, I think. I know maybe back in 2011 is when I preached that. I don't think you've heard it, definitely. Roy, you might have heard it, but I can't remember. You didn't get it until 2012, maybe? I can't remember if you've heard it, but many people here haven't heard it. I know online they haven't heard it, but it's interesting because in that he talks about this thing. What is he talking about? Well, when he tells Timothy, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, was he telling him to be a lone soldier out there on his own and you endure hardness as a lone soldier out there? No. He's talking about the body. He's saying you endure hardness as a good soldier. Oh, by the way, that sermon was called Endure Hardness. Don't harden your heart. That's what it was called. Just remember that. And the difference in enduring hardness and having a hard heart. I'll figure out some funny title for it here tonight. But anyway, that's what it was. But he said to endure hardness. He's saying endureth all things. Why? Because of love. You go through some things. A husband and a wife, they endure all things with each other. A father to his children, he endures all things. Not easy. Not always easy. A wife definitely has to endure a lot. To put up with a husband. but they endure. And what he's telling you in the body and us in the body, charity endureth all things. Means that, hey, I'm not going to bail on the body when things don't go my way. I'm not going to bail on the body if something's not not going. I'm not going to treat my brother in bad because something happens here. I'm not going to do that. Why? Because I'm going to endure all things. Paul said he endured all things for the elect's sake. Amen? Paul didn't bail out, did he? Hey, that's a sermon, brother Paul. Bailing on the body. Amen? But he didn't bail out, did he? He endured it as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And that's what he's saying. What was his motivation? Oh, because he could be hard and tough? No! His motivation was this. Charity. He did it with charity. That's how, the love of God, charity. Love is a choice. You choose to love. Think about it. I know Hollywood teaches that, oh, you just look into somebody's eyes and they play that goofy music, and then that means that you're in love, and then, you know, there's this uncontrollable spell that comes over you, and that all this. Well, let me tell you something, okay? Life don't work that way. Love is a choice. And Paul is telling you and telling us that as a body, you're commanded to love. But you have to choose to do it. But when you put it on, it perfects the body. It's the bond of the body. It's what makes people that are multi-talented people or gifted people, I should say, not talented, excuse me, gifted people that God has given gifts to everywhere in the body. What makes it all come together and work? Love. So what do you mean? Well, I mean, there are men here that are gifted in areas that I'm not. There's some men that are gifted in administration. There's some men that are more organized than me. There's some men that have all their ducks in a row like that. There are some of the, and you know what? If they all wanted to try to do what God has called me to do, what would happen? We'd have a mess. So what stops a man like Brother Finney or Brother Russ? Some of those men that have experienced that administrative work and dealt with people and everything else, what stops them from saying, well, Pastor, you just got to do it this way, and we're just going to make you do it this way, or you got to do this, or the first thing Russ told me when he came here, not the first thing, we've already talked about the first thing he told me, but after that, when him and I talked for a while and everything, and we grew together in this body and everything, one of the things he said to me, he goes, listen, he goes, I'm not here to correct you. He goes, I'm not here to change you. I'm not going to be the person that sits down and tries to tell you you've got to do it a different way and you've got to be a different person and you just can't do it this way and I would have said it this way and I would have said it that way and I should say it this way and you know you didn't say this right. He goes, that's God's job, not mine. If God wants you to do something different, He'll tell you. And if you don't do it, He'll deal with you. But I'm not here to do that. Brother Finney, very talented man, very experienced man in everything that he's done. Very blessed man, very gifted man in a lot of ways. But he doesn't do that either. He didn't say that either. Sure. I mean, I'm sure that they could do things better than me. I'm sure some of you could do things better than me. But the point is, you're not the one that God appointed to do it. That's the difference. Amen. Not the one that God appointed to do it. So then, what causes them to be able to handle that, not lose their mind over that when something's not done exactly the way that they would do it? Or think of charity. Charity. Amen. That's what does. Enduring all things. Charity never faileth. So he's going to go on and he's saying that love, it never fails. Why? Because it's the love of God. Can't fail. Charity is God's love. Amen. That's God's love. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. I'm not going to talk about this next part because I'm going to save it for Sunday because we're talking about the perfecting of the body. We're going to talk about a few things here. There's a few people that have disagreements on this text and we're going to, this next portion of that which is perfect has come, we're going to deal with that a little bit. And there's a few various opinions on that. And I believe I've seen both arguments and both make a very good case for their arguments. But I'm going to share with you on Sunday what I believe is being taught there, but I'm going to save that for then. But I want you to turn over to Colossians chapter 3. Because all this is leading up to the perfection of the body. All right? And that perfection doesn't mean sinless. No, it doesn't mean sinless. What does it mean? Complete, whole, matured, grown. Amen. But anyway, we'll talk about that Sunday. I want to finish up with this, and then we'll be pretty much done with this section here. Because we're going to get into Ephesians on Sunday. We're going to bounce back to this here a little bit, and you know it's going to be good stuff. So I hope you're learning something. I hope you are, because these are important lessons for anybody. Even if you're not in church in a local New Testament church right now, it's good for you to understand how they're to operate. Because God will place you in one by faith. Amen. And baptism. If you've never been baptized scripturally. Okay. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number, let's go to 12. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. He's talking to the body. Kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. I mean, does this sound like the same thing he just said? Because it does to me. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Wow. A quarrel, he says. If any have against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Amen. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. It's the bond. Charity. You see, love is what makes it work. You know what? If you don't want to love anybody, it won't work. That goes for a marriage. That goes for the church house or for the assembling of the saints, for the body of Christ. If you don't want to love, it won't work. You're right, it won't. If you don't choose to love, it won't work. If you don't choose to deny yourself, it won't work. Not at all. Above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body. Sounds like the same message, doesn't it? And be ye thankful. Wow, what a chapter, huh? Be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Talking about the body. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. When you got that bond, when you got that love, you'd be teaching and admonishing one another. Amen. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts. In your hearts, by the way. To the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. You know why you're going to need that love? And I don't even know if we're not going to get to the war. All right? The church as a soldier. Amen. We're not going to really get to that this week. It'll be next week, which will be Brother Russ's last week. I mean, not this following Sunday, but the next one. It'll be his last Sunday here full-time. I mean, he'll be back to report and visit, and we'll have the Lord's Supper together and everything like that. You know why that love is so important? Well, without it, you'll never be perfect, and we'll talk about that on Sunday. The body will never be perfected. It'll never be that complete, whole, mature body. It won't be. And without love, you will not be able to war. You can't go out to war. If there's no bond there, if there's no bond together, how can you war against the devil when you're warring against each other? Can't happen. That's why I'm not going to have unity with the brother in California over there, or with that church or that pastor over there. We're going to have some disagreements. But when I come here and I teach the same thing and God's Spirit deals with you and you say, well, amen, I believe that. Why? Because the Holy Ghost brings people in. That's why you got a guy like Nate out in New Hampshire that before I even knew him, he was listening to our sermons and he said, man, I've never agreed with anybody so much. He's talking about this church, not me, but this church and what we stand for. He said, I have never really agreed with too many of them. And I said to him 4 or 5 months ago, I said, well, maybe the Lord wants you to move here then. And I just dropped it. And he said, I said that to him. He said, well, that's what I'm afraid of. I was like, well, I've been there and I've done that. And I know what it's like. But you know, when God's Spirit does that, you can't deny it, can you, Brother Paul? You just do it. Can't deny it. All the struggles, the trials, and everything else, it comes down to that bond of charity. That's what it comes down to. Loving one another. Because I'll tell you what, there's going to come a day when we are all that we have. I mean that. I believe that. There's going to come a day, I believe, in this country, whether people think I'm a spooky conspiracy or not, but I believe there's going to come a day in this country where you're going to wish that you were in a local New Testament church that bonded together in love and is there and has each other's back and is looking out for each other. I believe that. Because whether people like to believe it or not, I do not believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. I think we're going to go through some things here. And even if you do believe in a pre-tribulation rapture, if that economy crashes tomorrow, you would really want to be in a place where your brethren were looking out for you. Whether it's pre-trib or not. And hey, you know what? That's the one doctrine that I hope you're right about if you believe it. Because I know I'm going either way. And I'd just as soon get out of here. I'd just as soon get out of here. And I hope I'm wrong. It's the one that I hope I'm wrong about. Not for the sake of being wrong, because I never want to be wrong. If I thought I was wrong, I'd get right. Amen? Somebody says, well, you think you're right about everything. Well, don't you? I mean, if you were wrong about something, wouldn't you get right about it? As much as I know I'm right about the things that I believe in. Amen? That's right. By the way, that doesn't mean that everybody here has to believe the same thing about that either, because they don't. There'd be some disagreements on prophecy and other things. We're not going to argue about the tenth toe on the Colossus, okay? We're not going to spend our lives arguing about things like that. We're going to spend our lives in love for Christ. That's what we're going to spend our lives in. And guess what? We're all going to be corrected one day. I can promise you on the authority of Scripture that we are all going to be corrected one day. Every single one of us that are His children are going to be straightened out on some things one day that we thought we had right. But God's going to show us that we weren't infallible. Amen? That He's the infallible one. But I thank God for His words. Amen? I thank God for the pureness of them, the inspired. I thank God that I'm not looking for it in another language.